Have you ever felt spiritually blah, where your heart feels far from God and where God feels far from you, where you're bored, lethargic, or apathetic to the things of God? You ever been there? I know you have. I know some of you guys that are listening, you're there right now. Some of you guys that are there right now, you're even in the ministry, and you're spiritually blah. And you've been trying to function as a spiritual leader at your church or your Christian school or Christian camp or whatever, and you feel like a hypocrite as you try to lead because you feel like you're faking it, like you're saying what you should say, but things are off inside of you. Guess what? That's exactly how I've been feeling the last week or two. And it sucks. I haven't even wanted to do this podcast because I don't ever want to come across inauthentic or fake. So I decided that I'm just going to talk about what I've been going through with this thing called spiritual blahness, because I always want to keep it real. And because I also know that I'm not alone. I know I'm not the only one who is going through this. I know that many of you are feeling it too. It's not what I want. It's not what God wants. And I know that I can't keep going like this. You can't keep going like this. And listen to me. If we don't do something about it, it's not just going to magically fix itself on its own. We can't just ignore it and pull that whole let go and let God. You know, if we do that, it's going to get worse. That's how it works. We're going to get worse. So on this episode of the Grizz Podcast, let's talk about this thing that I call and that I've been going through lately, this thing called spiritual blahness. So here we go.
Yo, what's up, all my brothers from other mothers around the world? Gets a little crazy up in here, you know what I'm saying?
So here we go.
Drop! You need this, dude. I need this, dude. We all need this.
Hey,
all the time.
You need this, dude.
I need this,
dude.
We all need this.
So here we go.
What does it really mean to be a man?
What
is
manliness?
So here we go.
What is the
essence
of true
masculinity?
Dude,
listen to me.
Hey.
Who do we look to
as a living example
of manliness?
Yo.
My brothers from other mothers. The Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the Grizz Podcast.
Always keeping it raw,
real,
and relevant.
Welcome to the Grizz Podcast.
The whole mission of this podcast is to help guide, encourage, and equip Christian dudes like you to live the manly life that God's calling us to live.
My brothers from other mothers.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Welcome to the Grizz Podcast.
Always keeping it raw,
real,
and relevant.
Welcome to the Grizz Podcast.
Down.
Hit it with the rock.
Yeah.
Yo, what's up, all my brothers from other mothers? Today is Monday, November 5th, 2018, and I'm coming at you from the Grizz Cave, which is my home office here in Huntingtown, Maryland. It is a chilly, rainy Monday morning, and I'm sitting here with a hot cup of coffee. I just heated it back up. It got kind of cold as I was doing some prep for this episode. But I was supposed to be out on a deck job today with my buddy Clint, but we are rained out. So it's all good. I got a lot of office work to do, and I was not able to record an episode of the Grizz podcast last week. So making up for it this week. Man, I have been just down and out the last 10 days or so. I mean, for at least 3 weeks, I've been dealing with some sort of upper respiratory type junk going on inside of me, but it got really bad the last week, 10 days, somewhere in there. It was bad. Like, I felt like death, you know what I'm saying? Like, you get up and you're in this zombie state, and it was worrying me a little bit because I literally couldn't get air in my passageways like the way I needed to. And I finally, you know, I tried to work through it, tried to sweat it out. I was taking DayQuil and Theraflu, and I was upping all my probiotics and all that stuff. And I finally was like, that's it. I got to go to the doctor. Like, I need something, you know what I'm saying? So I go to the doctor. When was it? I think it was last Thursday. And she looks at me, listens to everything I'm saying. She listens to my lungs. And first thing she said to me, she was like, you look exhausted. And I said, man, I am exhausted. Like, I'm zombie. Like, I just, no matter how much I sleep, I can't get enough sleep right now. And so she listened to my lungs and she's like, Jason, you got bronchitis.
I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
And I think you got walking pneumonia, and I think it's like this bacterial junk going on. I don't, you know, so long story short, she gives me a prescription, a couple of prescriptions, steroid, and then what else does she give me? She gave me an antibiotic, a Z-Pack that I need to go through, and I'm on like day four of that. And then she gave me an inhaler, and I've never had an inhaler, you know, but it has sure helped out. So, dude, I have just been sick. You can hear it even in my voice right now. It's just not totally back to where it was. And I know it's that time of year. It's flu season. So, just nasty. I swear, man, the older we get as dudes, it's just worse, man. Like, I don't bounce back as quick. And when you do get sick, I swear it feels worse than like in my teens, in my 20s, in my 30s. I'm in my 40s and I'm like, this is horrible. Like, what am I going to be like 10 or 20 years from now, man? It's, oh, man. Anyway, I'm going to choose to look at the good, you know. It's all good. Thank God for modern medicine. I'm breathing better, doing better, so sleeping better. I got more energy. So thank you, Lord, for modern medicine and all of that stuff. Anyway, I want to dig into this thing called spiritual blahness because, you know, this isn't something that I've been you know, planning for weeks, this topic or anything like that. I had a couple things I was working on for the podcast and it just doesn't feel right. You know, it's like, it would come across kind of inauthentic if I were to podcast about those things I've been working on. Like, the spiritual blahness is what I'm going through right now. I feel it. And I can tell. And I've been here before, and here I am again. And as I said at the beginning of the show, I know that some of you have been there. Some of you are in it right now. If you're a new Christian, I'm just letting you know you're going to be there. You're going to go through it. This thing called spiritual blahness, where God feels far from you. You feel far from God, no matter what you're doing. I mean, you could try to go to church. You can try to do ministry and volunteer, and you could try to read your Bible and pray, but there, it's just there. And I'm just trying to, for myself and also you guys, but myself first and foremost, like trying to wrap my head around this, like what's going on, you know, if the diagnosis is spiritual blahness, like, well, I don't know if that's the diagnosis. It's kind of like the symptom. You know what I mean? Like you feel that, you sense that, but there's something deeper. We got to peel back all the layers of the onion and see what is causing it. And I don't know everything that can cause it. I do know a few things that cause it in my life. And I think you're going to connect with some of these. And I'm hoping what it does for you is what it's doing for me. You kind of have like an aha moment, like, oh, okay, yep, that I'm dealing with that, or I'm doing that. And where you can say, so that's why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling. That's why I've been feeling spiritually blah. So I'm going to give you a few things that have caused me to feel that way, that are causing me to feel that way lately. And I'm going to be extremely honest and vulnerable with you guys. I do feel like there are times when we don't always know why. Like you can go through all the possible reasons, and sometimes you still just can't put your finger on why you're going through a season of spiritual blahness. And I've had that happen as well. You know, if that's you, after we go through everything today and you're still just like, man, that's not it. I don't know what it is. Then that's where I would encourage you to do what I've had to do many times. And that is to just hang on, keep doing the things you know that you need to be doing and just hang on, wait on God. Because he may just have you in that season where you're just like, nothing makes sense. And you don't feel close to him, and he doesn't feel close to you. And there are seasons like that in the Christian life. I wish somebody would have told me that. I wish like a older, wiser, godlier spiritual leader would have said, There's times like that, Jason, and you've got to persevere. You've got to do what the Psalms talk about so often, which is wait on the Lord. It's just repeatedly said all throughout the book of Psalms, like wait on the Lord. And that waiting on the Lord really shows real faith, because if everything is always feeling right and good and makes sense and God feels so near, you really can't tell what kind of faith you have, if it's a sincere, authentic faith, you know, because life is great, right? But when life isn't so great and all of a sudden you don't feel near to God and God doesn't feel near to you and life isn't going the way you think it should go, and but you continue to hang in there, persevere, wait on God, hope in God, trust, you know, and continue to seek God. And just, I can't say enough, just wait on him. That's real faith. And we all need to be reminded of that. So anyway, I now have to go heat my coffee up again, because it has gotten lukewarm, and I can't stand lukewarm coffee. You know what I'm saying, man? Like the other day, I was working with my buddy Clint that I build decks with, and he's like, we had to pick up some materials. We're driving back, and he's like, yo, man, you want to hit Starbucks up? I'm like, dude, what kind of question is that? Like, you don't even ever need to ask the Grizz that. So he's like, okay, man, let's pull in. So I go to the bathroom when we get in there. And by the time I get out, he's already got my coffee. He bought it for me. He hooked me up, man. He's a good dude. And I take a sip of it, and it's totally lukewarm. I'm like, what the heck? My coffee is like lukewarm. He's like, yeah, I know. He's like, isn't that great? Like when they served it, I told him to put a few ice cubes in our coffee. He goes, man, I can't stand it when it's so hot. You can't even drink it. And I'm like, dude, that's all good for you, but like, I love my coffee piping hot. He's like, yeah, but it will burn you. I'm like, it doesn't burn me. I just sip it slowly. I like to savor it, enjoy it. He's like, oh man, nah, dude, that's, I don't get it. I don't get cold coffee. I don't get lukewarm coffee. I want it piping hot. I'm not talking about scorch you, like freaking burn my tongue off, but I like my coffee hot. I like my soup hot. You know what I'm saying? I don't like lukewarm soup. I want the steam coming up. I want to breathe that in. I want to feel that. You know what I'm saying? I need that. What am I talking about? All right, I'm going to heat my coffee up, and I'll come back. Let's talk about spiritual blindness.
Got like 3 feet of air that time.
That's right. The steam is coming up. I can see it. It's beautiful. You know, the steam coming up on my coffee always reminds me of that verse in the book of James that life is just a vapor. It appears for a moment and then it quickly fades away. So having hot coffee with the steam coming up, it is deeply spiritual. Okay. Like, yeah. Anyway, spiritual blindness. Let's get right back at it, dude.
Drop.
Here's the first thing I was thinking, like, what can cause spiritual blindness? And I don't know everything that can cause it, but I do know a few things that I believe have caused it in my own life that I think you're going to connect with. The first one is, number one, just busyness. It's where you let yourself get too busy. This can cause spiritual blindness, where you're just overly busy with life, with work, with family, kids, sports, fixing up your house, dealing with health issues, even too busy with ministry stuff. And you're so busy that you're not taking regular time to get alone with God, to get in His Word, to think. Did you hear what I said? To get in His Word and to think, to pray, and to journal. Or you do that, but you're rushing through it just to check it off your to-do list for the day. Like your time with God becomes something you got to accomplish to try to make yourself feel spiritual so you can then move on with the rest of your day. Man, I am preaching to the choir right now because I get it. I've been there. I've done that. I got the t-shirt, right? So number one, spiritual blindness can stem from being too busy for time alone with God. And we should be spending daily time alone with God as Christian men. But I do realize that sometimes that's not able to happen. I mean, because life happens. There's just times that it's not going to happen. But it doesn't need to be like that consistently. Like, that shouldn't keep happening to where you miss your time alone with God. You know, the Bible says, God says, be still and know that I am God. I've been thinking a lot about that verse. There's a lot of applications and implications of that verse, but I know for sure that one of them is just we're not still enough. We're so busy. And we think that busyness equals productivity, but it doesn't. Busyness does not equal productivity. Busyness often means we're not as productive as we could be with the things that are most important. We need to take time to be still and know that He is God. And when we're not doing that regularly because we're too busy, even with good things, even with ministry things, don't be surprised when the spiritual blahness comes on. And you start feeling bored with the things of God, or lethargic, or apathetic, or even annoyed with the things of God. Man, I've been there. You know, there's an old story in the New Testament. It's the story of Martha and Mary, and it comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And I'm going to read it to you. It says this: as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Dude, that is such a powerful passage right there. And it shows us a lot about our Lord, Jesus Christ. It shows us what truly matters most to him in relation to us and what we're doing. You know, first of all, Martha is not doing a bad thing, but she's not doing the best thing. Martha has work ethic. Martha cares about making things all prepared and ready and good for Jesus and his disciples. She wants to serve Jesus. And she's busy. She's distracted. And she's also, like many of us, get just frazzled. Just, there's so much to do. I need some help up in here. And Mary, on the other hand, it's not that she's lazy, but she chooses to do what's most important. Jesus is in the house, okay? And he sat down up in their house, and he's got something to say. And so there's a million things to do on the to-do list. It's always going to be like that, guys. It never goes away. We don't ever get all the boxes checked. Never. I never get everything done on my daily to-do list, nor do I get it done on my weekly to-do list or monthly. There's always something I haven't done. Always. You need to realize that if you haven't yet. But Mary sits down. I'm going to listen to Jesus. I'm going to take time. I'm going to pause from everything else, because Jesus is in the house. And Jesus says that this is the best thing. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her, Martha. I'm not going to tell her to get up, stop listening to me, and go help Martha. So make the application in your own life. and I got to make it in my life. We're busy, most of us that are listening to this podcast. We're extremely busy. Life, work, family, kids, sports. Many of us are fixing up our homes. There's always something to paint, repair, add to the house, clean. Some of us are dealing with health issues. That keeps us incredibly busy. It could be our own health issues, or it could be stuff with our family. I got some friends that are dealing with major health issues with their own kids. And then there's some friends of mine that I look at them as I talk to them and listen to them. They're extremely busy with ministry stuff. Even on their day off, they do ministry stuff, which means they're not taking a day off. As soon as they wake up, they immediately go into ministry mode. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, man. And you're not taking regular time to get along with God, to get in His Word. Time to think, time to pray, time to journal. Or you're doing it, but like I said earlier, you're just rushing through it to check it off. Like, I have my time with God. Okay, let's go. Let's get on with the day. I've got a, you know, so much to do. I got to make an impact. I got to change the world. And listen, I don't have time to get up in the morning and have this 90-minute alone time with God to just savor every moment, to listen to Christian music, and then read my Bible for 40 minutes. Like, that's not reality up in my world, the Grizz. It's not how it is. But here's what I do know. I can do better at going to bed at a earlier hour so that I can get up earlier to take more time with God. So I'm not as rushed in the morning, getting to a job. Like at 6:50, I'm out the door getting my son to school, and then I head right to work typically, unless I'm out of town on a speaking trip. Now, some of you guys that I know listen to the podcast, you're up at 3 in the morning. You're on the road by 3:30 in the morning. So I get it. Early morning may not be the best time for you to really spend time alone with God. It might be before bed, where you shut off Netflix or SportsCenter and you're like, man, it's 8:30 and I'm really devoted, committed to 8:30 to 9 p.m. I'm going to take some time to spend with God, getting His Word, to just think, to slow down, to pray, to journal. But guys, you got to do it regularly. I mean, this is one of the major causes of spiritual blindness. We just get too busy. We're too freaking busy. That's not good. That's Martha, man. We need to not imitate her, not that she did a sinful thing, but she didn't do the best thing. We need to imitate Mary, who sat at the Master's feet. Now, I've said this before on the podcast. There are times where I can't help it. I'm rushed, or it's been a late night, something happened, I didn't have time to get up earlier. And so I get in my truck and I'm making the drive over to a job. Now, sometimes the drive is only 15 minutes. I don't have a lot of time, but sometimes I have over an hour drive to get to a job. And that's where I got to make the decision to make that time on my commute my time with God, where no wife, no kids, there's really nothing I can accomplish on the to-do list, but I need to shut off my phone. I don't need to be calling people, doing whatever. That time in the truck can be a time where I'm listening to something that's going to help me spiritually. A lot of times lately, I've been listening to Dr. Tony Evans. I love his teaching and preaching. So sometimes I just listen to 15 minutes worth and I shut it off because I need to think about what he's saying. I need to think about the application in my own life, what I need to do. So you get the point. One of the causes of spiritual blahness in my life, and I'm sure for many of you, is we're too busy. We're too busy. And it's not that we're too busy with bad or sinful things. We are often too busy with good things, and we're missing what's best. And we've got to discipline ourselves to have our time with God. You have to do that as a Christian man, to be the man that God wants you to be the man that your wife and your kids need you to be, or your girlfriend, your friends, whatever, that your church, your youth group needs you to be, that camp ministry that you oversee needs you to be, that if you're a Christian school teacher, like seriously, man, you didn't get into any of this ministry stuff just for a paycheck, right? I hope not. You got in it to impact and change lives. You can't do that if you're just, you know, wallowing in this mire, this swamp of spiritual blahness. One of the big reasons, busyness, too busy. So that's the first one. All right, number two, the next thing that I have noticed that can cause spiritual blahness in my life, and I know it can cause it in your life, is harboring secret sin in your life. Harboring secret sin in your life. That will bring on spiritual blahness. It'll bring on a whole bunch of stuff, but it'll definitely bring on like a spiritual blahness, where you feel bored, apathetic, lethargic, cold toward the things of God. You're not on fire for the things of God like you once were. And notice that I said the word harboring secret sin in your life. It's where you've let a sin come into your harbor and you're not doing anything about it. It's just docking there and you're allowing it to dock there. It's tied up at the dock and it has let down its bridge and you're just trying your best to keep rolling on with life. Listen to me again. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. This sort of thing will cause you to feel spiritually blah. It'll cause you to feel a lot of things that you don't want to feel. Things like guilt, shame, anger. You'll feel divided on the inside. When we harbor secret sin, it always, always jacks us up as Christian men. And I don't know what that secret sin is for you. It could be a debt that you owe someone that you haven't paid or you're not paying. You're like, I'm not going to pay that. Whatever. I thought about something like that today in my own life. I owe a doctor $100 and I have let it go for a couple months. And I keep saying, yeah, I'm going to take care of that. Yeah, I'm going to take care of that. And then there's part of me that's like, no, I'm not going to take care of that because that phone conversation that was a $100 phone consultation, like he really didn't do anything. It was like 15 minutes, blah, blah, blah. And I just had to stop and I'm like, Jason, you owe him money. He performed or gave you a service. You knew the cost. Pay him the money. Stop being greedy, Jason. Be a man of character, Jason. So right there, I identified something in my own life. You know, the integrity thing to do is take care of it today. And I'm going to take care of it today. It's the number one thing on my to-do list, like that I'm looking at right now in front of me. Got to pay this doctor the $100. And I can easily do that by calling his office and talking to the secretary, giving him my credit card information, and it's done. And I'm not harboring that anymore. Now, harboring secret sin, it could be something else that you've done to someone or you've said to someone, and you've never gone to them and you've never apologized for doing or saying that thing. And here's what happens. Periodically, God brings it to mind and it bothers you. Listen, just this morning, I was reading about this sort of thing in Andy Stanley's book, Enemies of the Heart. I mentioned that book a couple episodes back because my friend John Burns was telling me about it, and I had him say a few words. He recorded it. I put it on the podcast about how good this book is, and I ordered it, and I've just been nipping at it slowly because I don't want to read it quickly. It's a very good book that really probes you down deep, and there's just things I don't want to blow past, like where you're dealing with things like anger and guilt and greed, all these things that can come up in our hearts as men. But I was just reading in this book this morning where Andy Stanley in his own life was talking about something that he had done years ago, back when he was a teenager, and periodically God would bring it to mind, kind of bother him about it, kind of convict him about it. And he kind of used that excuse that we all have. Well, you know I shouldn't have done that. I confessed it to God. You know, 1 John 1:9, I confessed it. He's faithful and just. He'll forgive me. He'll cleanse me. But it wasn't that he just sinned against God. He sinned against a person, and he had not made that right with the person. So he's harboring a secret sin. He's letting it dock there. It has tied up to the dock. It has let down its bridge, and it's just like, yep, I'm here. We're coming out. Yep, this is where we stay. And he's trying to just roll on in life and in ministry, and it's messing with him. Let me read that story to you. It's really good. This is from Enemies of the Heart, Andy Stanley, starts at page 105. He says, several years ago, I was preaching for my dad while he was out of town. On that particular Sunday, I was talking about the importance of being blameless. I remember saying something like, if you're truly blameless, then you can stand up to any scrutiny. The president could ask you to take the job of attorney general, and you'd sail through the confirmation hearings without a hitch because your record is clean. No sooner had these words spilled out of my mouth than suddenly my mind was flooded with the memory of an incident from high school involving me and a family in our church. I was 16 at the time. I was angry with the father in this particular household because of things he'd said about my dad. So I devised a prank that I thought would put the fear of God in the whole family. Fortunately, no one was hurt, but it scared them to death, especially their youngest daughter. What I did was wrong, worse than wrong. It was illegal. Now that I'm a father and a husband, I see the events of that night in a different light. What I did was horrible. If I'd been that father, there's probably nothing I wouldn't have done to punish the person who frightened my family in that way. But they weren't the only ones impacted by the events of that night. I carried the guilt of my crime around with me every day, and no amount of secret confession, prayer, or penance would erase the guilt. I claimed 1 John 1:9 hundreds of times. A few years after the event, I even put some cash in their mailbox to pay for the damage I'd caused. But even that one needs the pain. Finally, I confessed my sin to a pastor in our church. He assured me that I was forgiven and that I needed to move on with my life. I asked him if I should go to the family and confess what I've done. He said no, but he was wrong. Every 3 or 4 months or so, I would receive a gentle reminder from the Lord. This time the reminder wasn't all that gentle. Here I was, preaching in my dad's pulpit, and I almost lost my train of thought right in the middle of my message. I remember thinking, Lord, this is not the time. I got through the sermon and went back into my dad's office to have my well-rehearsed conversation with God about this particular incident. I reminded him that what I'd done was in the past, that my sins had been paid for at the cross and I was forgiven. And as usual, the conviction eased but didn't completely go away. A few days later, I was having my morning quiet time and I found I couldn't pray. All I could think about was this incident that had haunted my conscience all this time. For 15 years, I'd resisted God over this, but he wouldn't let up. It was as though God was saying, Andy, you're not blameless. You're hiding something. And I remember thinking, but it's complicated, and it was so long ago, and it's probably no big deal by now. Finally, I concluded that it would be a lot easier to deal with the issue than to continue arguing with God. So I stood up and got in my car. Without the slightest idea what I was going to do, I just had to make things right with this fellow and his family. So I drove to his house. Then I drove past his house. Then I drove past his house again. It took me a long time to get up the nerve to stop. I can't recall another time in my adult life when I've been so nervous about something. I didn't know if he'd be angry or if he'd just think I was crazy. For all I knew, he would call the police. Eventually, I parked in the driveway, walked up to the door, and I rang the doorbell and hoped that nobody would answer. The man I wronged came to the door and greeted me with the most confused look you can imagine, and rightly so. I'd never been to his house before. We were never close friends, and I hadn't seen him in years. Andy, what in the world are you doing way out here? Come on in. I was dying on the inside. He didn't have a clue why I was there, which meant he didn't know what I'd done. Otherwise, he would have thrown me off his property, so I thought. He was alone. By this time, his kids were grown and gone. As soon as I sat down, I blurted out, I've come to apologize. And he just stared at me. He still didn't know. So I said it again, primarily because I was afraid if I didn't just start, I would lose my nerve. I told him what I'd done, and I told him how sorry I was. He just stared at me. If he stood up and knocked me across the room, I think I would have felt 100% better. I certainly deserved it. So I told him that too. Any response from him would be totally justified in my mind. When I finished, he smiled and said, "You know, I had a feeling it was you." Now, you have to understand, I'd carried this for years, and all along, this person had a hunch that I was behind an event that had caused him a great deal of pain and expense. As long as I live, I'll never forget what this gentleman said at the end of our conversation. He looked at me and said, "Andy, this makes me feel good all over." I saw release in his eyes. He'd already forgiven me and said as much. But when I owned up to what I'd done, it's as if the healing process was complete. We both had a good cry and I left. And I was free. The guilt was gone. I'd finally confessed. The reason you still feel guilty about things in your past is because they're still unresolved. Telling God you're sorry doesn't resolve your guilt because God wasn't the only offended party. Talking to God isn't enough. Your burden of guilt won't be lifted until you confess to the offended party. Then, and only then, can you live out in the open. Only then will you be free from the secrets that have formed walls between you and the people you love most. Dude, I don't know about you, but like, I needed that this morning. And I love that Andy Stanley shared that story, you know, because here's another big time spiritual leader here in America. And oftentimes, you know, Andy Stanley seems very polished. He seems, you know, the cookie cutter, clean cut, like he's got it all together. And I love hearing some of his junk right there. It makes me identify with him and go, okay, you're one of us, right? But he didn't let that thing keep harboring in his dock. He had for 15 years, he said, but enough was enough because it was causing him mostly guilt. It would just nip at him. But I'm telling you, when we harbor secret sin, it always causes more than that. It causes more than guilt. It can cause all sorts of things. Definitely the spiritual blahness. And it just starts messing us up. It's almost impossible to truly fellowship with God. I'm not saying you lose your relationship with God, but to really fellowship with him when there's some sort of secret sin that's harboring in your dock. So it could be, like I'm saying right here, somebody that you've done something to or said something to and you haven't made it right yet. And listen, you don't need to go digging and God, search me and search me and search me. And I'm going to fast for 10 days to try to figure out what this is. Listen, if I'm talking and saying this right now and something's coming to mind, there it is. That's it. That's the thing. You know, for me, it's like I said, one of the things that I identified, there's probably more because the Grizz has issues, is I got to pay that doctor. Okay. If it is pornography that you are harboring, I'm not saying you slipped, you fell. I'm saying you're harboring it. You're not dealing with that. I'm not judging you. I understand that addiction. I've talked about it many times here on the Grizz podcast, but you got to deal with that. And you can't just, oh, I'm just going to confess it to God. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Cleanse me. And you make no effort to get that thing out of your harbor. Listen, burn that ship. Burn it. Do whatever it takes. Romans 8:13 talks about the deeds of the flesh. It says in the old King James, mortify them, which modern translation is murder the deeds of the flesh in your own life. These sinful things, these addictions, these things that you're indulging in, that you're harboring, burn it, kill it, murder it, do what it takes. And the first thing is admit it, confess it, not just to God, but go to a spiritual leader, get it out. Hey, this is what I've been harboring. Get it out. And then begin to figure out how you're going to separate yourself from it. Separation. How do I completely get rid of this to where it's no longer there, whatever it takes? And then prevention. What are preventative steps that you can take so that it doesn't come back into your harbor? And then replacement. I'm really big on these three: separation, prevention, and replacement. What is something you can put in place in that harbor? It's not just about separate and prevent, but whatever you were getting, you know, whatever that was doing for you by keeping it in the harbor, it was obviously doing something for you. You know, there's some kind of reward that you were getting from it. What good thing can you put in place of that? Something better. That's what you got to figure out. So there's some more that I want to talk about with the spiritual blahness, things that can cause it. but I'm right about at the time limit that I want to keep the podcast. So I'll just stick with those two. And man, I am speaking from personal experience right here, right now, up in the life of the Grizz, dealing with spiritual blindness to the point that I'm like, I don't even want to do the podcast. I got nothing to say. If I say it, I'll sound like a freaking fake because I feel blah. I don't even care about the things of God right now. Church was annoying to me yesterday. Well, what's going on? Well, one of the things is you're just too busy. You're too busy. Slow down. Spend time with God like you need to be. Plan for that. Man, if you don't plan it, it's not going to happen. And then number two, harboring secret sin. Is there something that's not right that you've not taken care of that you know you need to take care of it? We all, I said this the last podcast episode, that verse in James, we all stumble in many ways. All of us as Christian men. I'm not talking about stumbling. I'm talking about harboring. That's the thing. That's the thing we've got to be really careful of, guys. That's what I'm looking at in my life. What am I harboring? What have I let come to dock in my harbor? And I'm just cool with it. Oh, well, I'll move on. It's not that big a deal. I told God I'm sorry. I confessed it. But I hadn't really dealt with it. I hadn't burned that ship. So that's what I got for you guys. I hope it in some way helps you, encourages you, equips you, guides you as to what you need to do that can help you if you're going through spiritual blindness. Dude, do something, okay? You can do something and you should do something. Do it today, whatever it is. All right, a couple things before I close out today's episode. We recently received some new ratings and reviews for the Grizz Podcast on iTunes, and I really appreciate you guys that are listening to the podcast doing that. And so I read them, and I'm going to read them right now here publicly on the Grizz Podcast. Let me pull that up here on my computer. The first one comes from username MoogMod, and he titles it, "Truly a great means for hearing God's truth." And he gave us 5 stars. He says, "Jason is a man that I can hear the Holy Spirit speak through. His words are blunt and real, and God has used Jason in my life to encourage and equip me. I highly recommend this podcast. Thank you very much, Jason." MoogMod, amen. Thank you for taking time to leave a rating and review, and thank you for encouraging me back by saying that. I hope the Holy Spirit is speaking through me. I don't always feel like he is, you know what I'm saying? But that's good, man. If he's using me in some sort of way to help you spiritually, then glory to God. The next one comes from username TCan57, and he gave us 5 stars, and he says, "What a blessing the Grizz Podcast is and can be for anybody willing to listen. Great and powerful stuff." And then he gave us the fist emoji. So thanks, TCan57. Let's see. The next one comes from the Nin Fan. That's the username. And he titles it, "Great for the Guys." 5 stars. "Jason does a great job of filling the mind with righteous thoughts, both Christian righteous and surfer dude righteous."
Yeah.
So I know what he's talking about. Then he gave us the fire emoji. So thanks, man. Let's see. The next one, the last one, comes from KMun4JMU. That's the username. And he titles it, "Fearless Truth." And he gave us 5 stars. "The Grizz Podcast doesn't shy away or sugarcoat reality or the struggles men are striving to be or the struggles men striving to be fearing God believers face. If you want to be challenged and encouraged to apply biblical truth to your life, this is the podcast for you. If you are looking for a podcast that makes you feel comfortable with where you're at, look elsewhere. Keep up the good work, Jason. Thanks, man. Really appreciate you taking time to do that, to say that. And you're spot on, man. I'm not here to make anybody feel comfortable. I want to definitely comfort the afflicted, but many times I need to afflict the comforted, and that includes myself. We get too comfortable, man. All right, last couple things. We had a few new guys, new listeners, make a donation financially to support the Grizz podcast, and I just wanted to publicly say thank you to you guys who did that. It's a big deal. It means a lot. It makes me want to continue to step up and man up and keep trying my best to pump out some helpful stuff for you guys. And I just, listen, man, the whole point of this is if this podcast is a blessing to you, then please consider being a blessing back by making a one-time or a monthly recurring donation to our nonprofit ministry. You can do that at narrowtrail.com/give, narrowtrail.com/give. But listen, there's no pressure. I'm not going to guilt trip anyone. You don't have to do that. This podcast is always free to all of our listeners, but just know it's not free to me, and it's not free to our ministry. It does cost. So the podcast is always free to all the listeners, but it does cost me and the ministry something. If you feel led to give back, then I just want to say thank you. All right, that's it. No pressure. Lastly, number three, if you have not yet signed up to become a member of Covenant Eyes Internet Accountability, I highly recommend that you do that. I've been a member for close to 15 years, and it helps me not harbor secret sin. All of my internet activity is being monitored by Covenant Eyes. I'm talking my computers and my iPhone. Two of my friends get a weekly report of everywhere I've been online, and I get weekly reports from several of my friends of where they've been online. I hold them accountable, and I also get weekly reports of where my teenagers have been online, all of their internet activity. Listen, because I own their iPhones, and I pay the monthly bill for my teenagers' iPhones. And it's not cheap, you know what I'm saying? And I want to know what they're doing online. And if they don't want that, or they don't like that, if they're not down with that, then that's cool. Then dad doesn't have to give them an iPhone, because that's how I roll. Listen, guys, protecting yourself online and protecting your kids or teens online, it's crucial. You know what's out there. You know how easy it is to get into something. Dude, you know what I'm saying. Listen to me. You can sign up for Covenant Eyes and get the first 30 days completely free by going to covenanteyes.com. And when you're signing up and you're filling out everything, use the promo code GRIZZIN, GRIZZIN, GRIZZIN. I am an affiliate with Covenant Eyes, so I do get a modest kickback from them when you do that, when you sign up and use the promo code GRIZZIN, just keeping it real, so you know what's up. But you also need to understand, long before I was an affiliate of Covenant Eyes, I've been a member of Covenant Eyes. Even though I'm an affiliate of Covenant Eyes, I still pay a monthly fee to pay for Covenant Eyes for myself and also for my kids. I have the family account. All right, so I'm not encouraging or recommending anything. I don't use myself, guys. And I believe in it. It does help. It's not the only thing we as men need to do to help us in this area of purity, but this is a powerful tool or weapon to help, for me, prevent a harboring secret sin. All right. That's it for this week. Thank you so much. Sincerely, dude, thank you for tuning in, listening to the Grizz Podcast. I hope it's a blessing to you. I hope it helps you. Let's close on a word of prayer. Dear gracious, mighty Heavenly Father, God, many of us are going through a rough time. We might be going through this thing we talked about today, spiritual blahness. And sometimes we know why. Sometimes we don't always know why. But I don't want to be spiritually blah. I want to be sharp. I want to be on fire for you. And I need your help. Show me the things that I might be doing to make me spiritually blah. And show these guys that are listening what they might be doing that's causing it. And God, help us today to take action, to do something about it, to make the changes that we need to make, not just for ourselves, but for others. Because when we get right inside of ourselves, it has a powerful, powerful effect on all of our relationships, whether it's with our marriage, with our kids, with girlfriend, with friendships, with our employer, with employees, with the people in our congregation, with the students in our youth group, whatever. God, help us. We need you, God. We need your word, and we need each other. We need our brothers from other mothers. God, take this podcast and use it, God, to bring some sort of revolution, fire among Christian men, to help them just step up and man up and live the life that you're calling them to live. In Jesus' name, I pray this, and for the glory of Jesus, for his fame, not mine, I pray this, God. Amen.
The Grizz Podcast is an outreach of Narrow Trail Ministries, Incorporated. Narrow Trail is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Without faithful financial supporters, this podcast would not be possible. If this podcast is a blessing to you, please consider partnering with us by becoming a one-time or monthly financial supporter of Narrow Trail Ministries. Your tax-exempt donation will help us continue to improve and expand our impact upon the world. Simply go to www.narrowtrail.com to set up your secure online donation. And thank you again for listening to the Grizz Podcast. God bless.